everything will work like it's supposed to. Now, many of you, I missed you, by the way. That's a time when you're supposed to say, I missed you too. Well, so much for that. He says that because he's a pastor. He knows, right?
We missed your target also.
My target?
Oh.
Uh-oh. Many of you asked, how was my trip? And many of you know that I was on a hunting trip. And I was on a hunting trip to Illinois. And some of you might say, well, why did you go to Illinois to hunt deer? That's because in Illinois, they have some really, really, really big deer there. And those of us that hunt, we're always after the biggest deer that we can find. And here in Pennsylvania, we don't have deer as big as they do in Illinois, so that's why I went to Illinois. So now you know why I went. And many of you said, well, how did the trip go? And it didn't go well. And when I say I missed you, I really, really, really did miss you. Because we were in a camp full of guys. There was actually a couple women there as well. And I felt like a fish out of water because the language was horrible. I won't even go into what the language was like, but it was horrible. None of them knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Fortunately, I had a buddy go along with me who is a strong Christian. And so he and I, you know, would continue to bond and pray and talk the things of Jesus. But it was just so sad to be in a group where they didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was just, one night they went all out, all of them went out and got drunk. Came back the next morning, they were so drunk they couldn't even hunt. And this is supposed to be fun, right? So it was terrible. And it was 90 degrees for 4 days. And any of you that know about deer, deer don't like to move when it's 90 degrees. So we didn't see hardly any deer at all. And so we left a day early and came back. And my buddy has a grandson. Pierce is his name. And it was Columbus Day when we got back. And so I said to Terry, he didn't have school. I said, let's take him out and see if we can get him a deer. And so we got back and we took him out the day after we got back, and he shot a nice 8-point right behind my house. So God truly blessed us despite it all. But thank you for praying for me, and thank you for the time off. Thank you for appreciating myself and many of the pastors that pastored here as well, and those of you that sent cards, thank you for that as well. I appreciate you. I want you to know. I appreciate you. And I appreciate this church. Many churches are empty this morning. And this church is not empty. Amen?
Amen?
Come on with me. Right? And so I was talking with Bruce briefly as he called me and said, hey, Al, how was the trip? Yeah, you know, and I'm there. Yeah, it was very disappointing. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to do a message on disappointment. He started to laugh. And I said, no, you know, I'm serious, because disappointment is something that how many of you ever been disappointed? Yeah. And those of you that didn't raise your hand, you're lying, right? We've all been disappointed. And I thought, you know, what is disappointment? So I looked it up, Googled it, right? Isn't that what we do now? We don't go to a dictionary, right? We go to Google. And this is what it said. Disappointment defined: sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. And I was kind of disappointed with that definition because it doesn't really define disappointment. It says the cause of disappointment is the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. And that's true, isn't it? Yeah. And we all have expectations, don't we? Again, we were talking in Sunday school this morning about hope. And we were talking about, one of the questions that we have is, why is there a hell, and why would a loving God send people to hell? Well, God didn't send people to hell. Understand that, right? God didn't send people to hell. Our sin in Adam and our own sin, that's what sends us to hell. And the Bible says that we're all sinners. So we all deserve hell. You understand? Not everybody's going to heaven. Hello? Not everybody's going to heaven. We're all on our way to hell. And God says, you know what? I'm going to redeem. I'm going to grab. I'm going to choose. I'm going to take these ones that are on their way to hell. I'm going to show myself to them. I'm going to speak to them. I'm going to redeem them through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you better say amen to that, amen. Right? Because we don't have to fear hell. Because we have a Savior. And we have a God that loves us, that He chose you. He called you. He brought you to Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I guess while I was away, I got to preaching more. I don't know. But anyway, disappointment. Now, we all, as we said, have experienced disappointment. What's wrong with disappointment? Nothing, really. It's our hopes and our expectations, as we looked at the definition. That's the cause. But we need to be really concerned when we're disappointed. Because when I was on my hunting trip, we were very disappointed. My buddy and I talked, and we said, this trip is, spent this money and everything else, and we had this expectation, and we were really disappointed.
What a waste.
Yeah, what a waste. And so we were very disappointed. Nothing wrong with that, but we need to be very careful, hear me. We need to be very careful when we're disappointed. Because disappointment is a nuance of anger. It's a breeding ground for anger.
And judgment.
Yeah. Judgment. And my buddy and I, he's one of my best friends. And there were a time or two where he got really cranky. And when he got cranky, I got cranky. And he asked me to forgive him, and I said, sure, absolutely. Just understand, though, when you get cranky, I'm going to get cranky. And I'm going to give it right back to you, Hard for you to believe about your pastor, isn't it? But anyway, disappointment leads, so we need to be very careful, because disappointment leads to frustration. And frustration, again, it's a nuance of anger. Now, if I were to ask you, which I will, how many of you are angry here today? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, 5. Not many times do we allow ourselves to admit that we're angry. But I'm going to suggest to you, because of the passage that we read this morning and we're going to take a look at here in a moment or two, we are all groaning inwardly. And even the creation, it says, in what we read, is groaning inwardly because God subjected, if we sinned, you're going to reap the consequences, God said. Here's the consequences. And you plant a garden, there's going to be weeds. You're going to have children. Ladies, what happens? It hurts.
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah, it sure does. And I didn't know how much it hurt until I had a kidney stone. And they said that's the male version of labor. And if that's the male version of labor, you ladies can have it. You know, man, it really, really, I was on my knee. Well, you don't need to know. But anyway, it was incredibly painful. And so we're all, what should I say, subject to anger, disappointment, frustration. Be aware. Because when we're disappointed, that leads to frustration, like it did with my buddy and me. And then once we get frustrated, then we get agitated. You ever been agitated? Yeah. I call it attitude. Right? We all get bad attitudes. And we need to be aware. We need to be aware. Because agitation is going to lead us to outbursts. It's going to lead us to anger. And, you know, when we're angry, man, all kinds of things can happen. We become vengeful. You know, it's either going to be my way or the highway. Right? And all kinds of things happen when we're angry. Not good. Not good. So we need to be aware. And anger, if it goes unchecked, will lead to rage. We in this country know what it's like when people get to this particular point. All kinds of things happen. Murders, shootings, things that we don't even want to think about. That's what happens. And it all starts with disappointment. And I got to tell you, I was disappointed, just as all of you. So we saw what the definition is. So now let's take a look at what does the scripture say. Here's what it says, right? For the creation was subjected to good things, futility, not willingly. That's not what God intended, but because of our sin, He subjected it. We reap the consequences. You understand, we reap the consequences for our sin, right? We're saved from our sin. We're redeemed from our sin. But if we sin, there is going to be consequences for our sin. You reap what you sow, the scripture says. See? And that's what it's talking about here. In hope, and in Sunday school, once, and if you, again, I got to keep pushing Sunday school, right? Yay!
Amen.
Amen, there you go. The hope in the Bible. I did a word study when I was a student way back when. And hope in the Bible, it's a certainty. It's a certainty. It's not I hope that it doesn't rain tomorrow, right? It's not that kind of a hope. The hope that the Bible always talks about, it's a certainty. It's a done deal. That's the hope. So in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption. It's going to happen. There's going to come a time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. Right? That it's all going to change. It's going to be set free from bondage. And you know what? Here's the good news. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. So I'll stop there and we'll take a look at this. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of what? That's pretty serious, isn't it? It hurts. All of you women should be saying, yeah, it hurts, right? And according to the definition, disappointment is caused by our expectations. But according to the scripture, disappointment is to be expected because of our sin. It's the consequence, as I said, of our sin. Now, here's the good news. Don't you love the Bible, huh? Because the Bible is good news. It's good news.
Amen.
Boy, thank you, Bonnie. That's right. I'm glad you're here to say amen, right? Amen. Is the Bible good news to y'all?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Here's the good news. We have the promise. And this is a certainty. It's not a promise that's going to be broken. Why? Because God said it. That's why. It's a promise. It's a done deal, right? The promise of redemption that awaits us in Christ Jesus, which requires waiting and patience. But who in the world likes waiting? I hate to wait. Some of you are chuckling. I guess Bonnie hates to wait too, or is that Joe?
He waits for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Deb's not here, so I shouldn't say too much, but, you know, I know that if I'm going somewhere, I need to give her about a 15 to 20 minute window before we actually. So, waiting. We all hate to wait. But God says it requires patience. And that's what we're doing right now. You understand that? We're waiting. We're waiting for the promise, the guarantee that redemption, the whole creation, we ourselves are going to be made new again. Here's even better news, right? We can live in the here and now in God's blessings if we look for them each and every day. Now, that's even better news. Now, when I went to seminary, I went to a Presbyterian seminary, and boy, did I get an education. I really enjoyed my education. And one of the things that they talked about and drilled in our heads was that the good news, it's all about what we have right now in Jesus Christ, because we can live victorious lives in Jesus Christ right now. And the best way to do that is to come to church each and every Sunday and hear God's word and leave these doors with God's word on our heart and applying God's word throughout the week. Hey, I missed you. And I didn't go to church for 2 weeks there. There wasn't one around. We were out in the boonies. Right? And I got to tell you, boy, Bruce said, what's it like to be back? And I'm there, boy, you know, we got to be having God's word in our hearts each and every week and applying God's word to our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to be inviting people to church. Like I say, I ran into this fellow yesterday, and I don't know how we even got talking about it, but I said, you don't know where Milk Can Corners is. I'm glad you got Milk Can Corners, because everybody knows where that is, you know? And he's a New Milford guy. And I said, do you know where Milk Can? Yeah. I said, well, I'm pastor of a church out there. Oh, yeah, what church is that? And so I told him. And he said, oh, well, where? I said, you know where Milk Can Corners is? It's right at the top of the hill. And he says, you know what? Come on in and meet my wife. So I came in and met his wife. And he said, hey, this guy's a pastor, and he invited us to church. And he said, we really need to go to church. He goes, you know, I'm looking for a church. And I said, well, I'm happy to say that I'm pastor of a church that's really going to love on you. If you come, we're going to love on you. And she said, boy, I need to go to church. And they promised me that they would come to church. So, but you know how that goes. So we need to pray, right, that they come. But we need to be in church, and we need God's word. We need to be immersed in God's word. You know, I was in Sunday school once again, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and I looked over at Bonnie's Bible, and it was falling apart. And it was full of markers, and I don't know what all you had in there, but, you know. But that's the way our Bibles ought to be, that we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, and that we allow the Word of God to wash us, and to go out of here this morning with the Word of God on our hearts, because we can live in the blessings that God gives us in the here and now. But it's also future. Nothing compares to the future glory that we're going to have in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get to heaven, and I'm a little jealous of Bob Pratt because he's there. You beat me, Bob. You know? Because this life is full of all kinds of disappointment, frustration, agitation, anger, rage. And I don't know about you, but boy, it's terrible to see what's going on, not only in our country, but in the world. Amen. Israel's at war now. And who knows? It could be sucked into more than just Israel and Palestine. You know? And that's what it's like without Jesus. Future glory, there's not any war. No, it's done. Only future glory can accomplish that. The problem is that we forget. So each day, and how many of you got your boxes? Did everybody get those? All right. Jerry, can you go out and grab a few boxes there? And if you didn't get a box, and don't tell me that you don't want a box. Come on. Cooperate. This is called humor the pastor, okay? You know, you're there, I don't need that. You know, I don't know what he's doing now. You know, what? Humor me. Jim, do you have a box? All right, okay. I thought Jim would be one of the ones that would say, I don't need one. He took the shiny one. Who doesn't have a box? Come on, raise your right here. We need one right here. Bob, do you have one? You got to have a box, Bob. Well, you don't have to, but. Oh, boy.
I do have a box.
Okay. Ron, do you have a box? Okay, make sure he gets a box. You have a box? He's another one. I thought he would say, I don't need a box, you know. Okay, thank you. All right. Bruce, do you have a box? Okay, all right. Those are the three guys that I would say, you'll probably see. What's Al doing now, you know? Well, that's, hey, we can give you a bigger one. I think there's bigger ones out there, too. Yeah. She gave him another box. Okay. All right, so what are we doing with the boxes? And this is called humor the pastor. Come on, if you appreciate me, then humor me, okay? What I would like you to do, we're going to call these boxes blessing boxes, okay? Blessing boxes. And what I would like for you to do is, starting today until next Sunday, and I want you to bring your boxes back with you next Sunday, and I know Eric is going to say, I forgot mine. Okay. So what I want you to do is each and every day, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the remembrance and what he's done for us, you know, we are really, really blessed. And as I was thinking about disappointment and the trip and the waste of the money, right, and the time and all that, you know, I started to get angry. And I said to my buddy, yeah, we got to do something about this. He goes, yeah, what are we going to do? And I said, you know, the best antidote to disappointment is to remember what God has blessed us with. And so that's what this is about this morning. You know, you are most richly blessed. I am most richly blessed.
Amen with that.
Amen. Amen to all of you. Do you believe you're richly blessed?
Amen.
I sure hope you do, because you are. Boy, you know what it must be like in the Mideast right now. You are blessed, right? And God gives us blessings each and every day. What are they? Well, could be anything. There's no specifics to this. Whatever you consider a blessing, then put it on a piece of paper, write it out, and stick it in that box. Okay, so next Sunday when you come, and I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do next Sunday, until you, hey, see, that's called baiting you, right? We're going to do something next Sunday. Even Bonnie doesn't know this. So Bonnie and I talked, to, I don't know, a day or two ago, and I gave her all of my, this is old news to you, right? So, but anyway, bring your box, and I'm not even going to tell you what we're going to do, but bring it with you. And there should be at least 7 pieces of paper in there that are different. Don't make them the same. I could see Bob saying, well, I'm blessed for this, and I'm done for the, No, each and every day, Bob, okay? Each and, no cheating. Bruce, each and every day, right? Put something in that box and bring it with you. Now, why is this important? Because we serve a God. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We in the Presbyterian Church, we believe this. I believe this with all my heart. Not because I'm Presbyterian, but because that's what the Scripture says. And what does the Scripture say? We that know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are under what we call special grace in theology. And what that means is there's common grace, right? And common grace has to do with everybody's reaps the blessings, right, of God, even though they are not Christian people. You know, it rains on the just and the unjust, the Bible says. That's common grace. But those of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are under what we call special grace in theology. And that means that you are the object. Think about this. You are the object of God's special grace. You are special to God. He chose you. That's how special you are. You talk about a blessing? Huh? Wake up. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. I know you're Presbyterian, but come on. Right? We're not the chosen frozen, as I say. Right? So, you're under God's special grace. And when I was handing out communion to those that were serving, and I said, this is the body of Christ shed, broken for you. This is the blood that was shed for you. I heard Aubrey saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. Something like that, right? Amen. Yeah. We are blessed. We're under God's special grace. So that's what I want you to do. Put it in the box and bring it back with you next week. Can you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Caesar. Will you do that?
Yes.
Will you be here next week?
Yes.
All right. There we go.
Mike says,
let's party. Let's party. Yeah. That's right. You know, hey, who doesn't love a party, right? And God's all about that, right? Blessing us here and now. So that's the challenge this morning. And I want to encourage us with God's blessing. And we're going to have Linda come, and we're going to sing Count Your Many Blessings. That's not in your hymnal,